count me in?
Yeah, I'll count you in. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hello and welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother, Scott Charlesworth.
Hey,
Scott,
how you feeling
after the movie?
Oh, how you doing? Oh, fuck. Oh, it is recording over the last thing.
We've got it.
Yeah.
We've got it.
We did it.
We've done it.
Yes.
No, I don't want to high five
okay,
over that.
Yeah. Well, how you doing, you little quesadillas? Your little spicy listeners?
You're talking to the listeners, not me. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How you doing?
I don't know. Right. Well, they can't respond. I thought you were saying, I thought you were coming to me and I had a story prepped. But that's
okay. All right. I'm gonna ask you, pretend I didn't ask them.
Well, ask the listeners as well. We've got to interact with our audience.
All right.
Well, how are the listeners doing? Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. Awesome. Nice, guys. Yeah, yeah. Now, how are you doing, Ben? Tell me your story.
No, how are you doing?
Well, I am doing very well.
Yep. And what's your story?
I have no story. I'm just saying how I'm feeling. Like, that was such a flurry of so many emotions, this movie. We've been taken on a joyride in a cop car. That's for sure. As I said in our last recording, which we, you know, this is only one recording, but it feels like a joyride in a GTA cop car.
Yeah, we recorded an entire podcast and we scrapped it all.
Yes.
No, we just did 2 minutes. Don't freak out.
Yeah, it's okay.
I couldn't hear myself. We had a technical issue.
I want to hear about your story.
Well, I'm in a bit of a predicament because my car has been left out under the tree. I'm a very particular person, my car. I like my car nice. I like my car clean, very orderly and nice. And we're doing what's called one of the people who lived on our street said, we're playing a bit of musical cars. You know, we're switching cars in between the garage. We've got 4 cars and 2 garage spaces. So you can see how that's going to go.
It's a little bit tricky, that's for sure.
This morning's gone for a motorbike ride. And he's got my car and he's moved it under the tree. Now, whenever it goes under the tree, my car gets absolutely filthy. And it was super clean. I only washed it like 5 days ago. I counted.
It doesn't just have a layer of leaves on it. It's got a massive layer of dust all over it as
well, which is just pissing me off. And so then
expressing the aggression.
We finished the movie and we went out to have lunch and I was like, all right, like that's what I'm going to tell him. Dad, what are you, like, don't move my car under the tree. Move it on the street.
You're in trouble, Dad.
As I've walked in, Dad's eyes just fully swollen. And he's like, yeah, I just got bit by an ant and I couldn't see the whole way riding home.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm struggling. I'm in so much pain. There's just venom in my eye. Like, oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So do I break the news about the car now or do I just wait 2 days? But that's not going to be as effective because it's not current.
Just give it a couple of hours and then you can
maybe be... tonight. Maybe tonight I'll tell
you. Yeah, just wait till the venom goes down.
And then I'll be like, oh, yeah. Right, anyway, what the fuck did you do with my car, bro?
Yeah, that's kind of annoying. Oh, well, you know, musical cars, it happens. It happens to an MF.
Yeah.
But the movie that we did watch today was End of Watch, and it is I would say a modern cop buddy movie in a very contemporary sense.
What did you say? Cop buddy.
Cop buddy, yeah.
Buddy cop.
Buddy cop.
Yeah,
cop buddy.
We've got to get the specifics right.
The lingo's off here.
Buddy cop, please. Anyways,
it's a modern buddy cop movie. Very, it has like the found footage sort of vibe to it. Very, like early 2010s sort of vibe. It's very cool, you know, lots and lots of action. Some passionate scenes. It's a real mix.
Yep, there's some passionate kissing between Anna Kendrick and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, and I just want to talk about the intro scene specifically.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just going to lead into it chronologically as much as possible.
All right, so, yeah, brief me on this because you said something before the podcast.
Well, I don't want to talk about the ending until our ending.
Okay.
If we can help it.
I mean, my first point is about the ending, so I'll move that down the list to the end. Okay. I shit you not. So I'll just move that down and we'll go from there.
The intro, wow, that is just an explosion of action and it is exactly what you want from this type of movie. It grounds you straight away with the, you know, going through the back streets of LA and stuff like that. It's really cool. It gets you in the mood. It's just the perfect lift of energy. And then you see the confidence of the our two main protagonists get out of the car, gun down a gang member, and it's just like, end of watch. This is what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking sick.
It's funny, though, with that start scene, it has on the top part 2011, and the movie came out in 2012. So it's one of... No, because obviously they shot it. It says... like the month is like September or something like that.
Oh yeah.
But it's one of those funny things where when you're in cinemas, you know, usually when the movie comes out,
it has the same date as when you're out. Usually yeah, they so time it to if you, when they release it.
Yeah, exactly. So when you see this in 2012, you'll be like, this is one of those funny things. That's rare in movies. And it's, I always just find it interesting. It's like,
a little bit of a detail there. No, nice pickup because that does usually happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they usually do it to the current date. But yeah, nice pickup.
But you don't know when the movie is going to be released.
Exactly. So, you know, it's...
How could you do that?
It's, I mean, I guess last minute editing. That's your trick.
But
it is filmed on actual handy cam.
Yeah, I feel like that was actually for real.
You can't really change that, which actually makes it more authentic. And I want to talk about the groundedness of this movie specifically. There is a really nice natural feel of the dialogue.
Mm.
It doesn't feel too back and forth, waiting for the other character to talk. Then this character has their lines. It's not theatrical. It's very interrupt me, interrupt you. It's natural conversation that flows and there's noise in the background. It's great. It's exactly what you need for this style of movie with the shaky cam and the found footage vibe. They've pieced together a nice collection of grounded energy.
Well, they were bromies. They were just fucking bromies.
They were bromies.
They were just, you know, probably having like mad kissing sessions after this.
They probably would, you know, not a man till you had a man.
Exactly.
But yeah, Michael Pena and Jake Gyllenhaal, absolute massive bromance in this movie. They have a connection, that's for sure. You can tell it's an off-screen connection that they've bonded with.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Pena and Jake Eggenhall, as I saw on the internet. What did you think of Shave Gyllenhaal, or Eggenhall, as I saw? Not my thing. Go to Letterboxd, you'll find the person who said that.
Yeah, I thought Shaved Eggenhall, he can kind of rock any look.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got a head that is able to just, you know, you slap a bit of hair on him, or you take it off, and, you know, Eggenhall's good to go.
Yeah, he's a bit like a Nintendo Mii, where he can just, he's very customizable.
Yeah.
You know? You could chuck some... brown hair on, some blonde hair on. Has he been blonde? He's got to be blonde.
I think there is a movie where he's dyed his hair blonde before. And surely.
Frosted tips. Surely. Yeah. I mean, he's a beard boy. He's a no beard boy. He's a star. He's
Donnie Darko with the goth look.
Hang on, let me search it up.
There's a couple of different things that he has gone for. I reckon, yeah, Eggenhall, it works. And especially works for his character because there are a lot of bald cops in the States.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched an episode of Cops... You know, there's at least going to be one bald guy on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
At least one.
Oh, no, I misspelt it.
Oh, you bloody...
I went to write, has Jake Gyllenhaal been blonde? But I switched the O out for an I and it came up with blind.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been blind.
Yes, he has.
No, there's no blonde Gyllenhaal here.
He was actually blind for a second in this movie in that fire scene, remember?
Oh, yeah, for real.
When he came out and, like, the smoke had like gotten his eyes.
I love that scene. That scene was super intense.
Do you want to deep dive into that for a second?
Oh, do you really want to go chronological for everything? We can stick to that format for this podcast.
No, man. You know what? Let's just keep the ending for the end, but anything else, just have at it.
And how about you keep that energy, right? Keep it going. Keep it boosted. I love it. All right.
Oh, yeah. It's so sexual and good, isn't it?
Yes. Oh.
So they arrive at the house, right? Just instant... All right, man, this is going to be an intense scene. You see the fire. It's always like shit, they're going to go in there and save the kid. It's that sort of scene. It's been done before, but there's a certain level of intensity to this, especially when they're crawling on the floor, visibly choking up and really struggling on the first run. With the first, was there two kids that they got out the
two
start?
Two kids on the first one, and then they
and
got
then
them
going
out
back in,
and then it was like, oh yeah, where's my 2-year-old? It's like, oh fuck, man.
Okay, you could have told us that before.
Yeah, come on, bitch. What
yeah,
are you saying?
What are you doing?
Don't
yeah.
run out and say get my kids. You should say get my three.
There's
kids.
There's three kids in
numbers,
there.
Please.
Nah, give her the benefit of the doubt. She was hysterical.
Oh, please. Hysterical. What's happening? Oh, your children could die by a fire.
You don't give us the details, they will die.
Exactly. And that's why when we do our police duties, before we enter a fiery building, ma'am, how many children? Three? Okay.
We're good to go. And we just, you know, leg it.
Yeah. Crawl it.
We crawl it.
We crawl it.
We crawl it and sprawl it.
Good crawling action there.
Do you think they trained pretty hard to get that commando crawl going?
Yeah, it was pretty good for both of them, I felt.
Yeah, you know, get down low and go, go, go.
I love the locker room scene at the start as well.
The locker room scene. Oh, when they're messing around and, oh yeah, and he's
David Harbour's in this.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that, oh man, that gave me a bit of a shock because I forgot that he was in this movie.
He's just a very straight and narrow guy.
It's good. He has a bit of range, David Harbour, doesn't he?
I love it when he...
Wait, is his name...
David Harbour? Yes, and you are right. Right on the money, boy.
No, but his character that he plays...
is called David Harbour? Right on the money. Two for two. You're on fire, just like that building.
Yeah,
and
but...
hopefully not those children.
Isn't,
they were safe.
Isn't his last name Harbour as his character? Like, his character's last name is Harbour as well.
Oh... Just, I don't know. Do you want to pause the broadcast? Or do you want me to fill in there?
No, mate. I'm having a look at this right now. Okay, what does he play?
And he had like a knife in his eye as well. Let me say something.
Yeah, man, you've just jumped. You've just jumped like crazy.
I can't jump.
You can jump.
Okay.
But did you want to talk about this locker room scene?
Well, I was going to keep chatting whilst you were researching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, his last name is Hauser, not Harbour. Yeah, well. Still looks like an H sort of name.
Yeah, well, I think you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, mate, thanks, mate. That means a lot.
Yeah.
But it was a really good...
Get your facts straight, mate.
Showing all of the gear and stuff, and then it crosses to David Harbour, and he's just like, stop filming me, or I'm just going to fucking kill you.
He was a snitch. He snitched on them in the end as well.
Yeah, I know. He deserved that knife in his eye.
Yeah. Oh, now you jumped, you dirty boy.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going straight there, because when his eye got stabbed...
Yeah.
How disappointed did that poor man look? He's just like,
I shouldn't have taken
watch
a rookie
out,
on
there's
duty
a big Latino.
Me. Yeah.
And then as he's getting pulled into the ambulance, I just love, all he cared about was, they cut my vest. They cut my vest. Because you see him in the locker room putting on his vest. He's like, yeah, my bulletproof vest. He thinks he's like a fucking badass with that vest.
And then they cut his vest
off. They cut his vest. Which is weird, because he got stabbed in the eye and shot in the leg, was it?
I would have been more concerned about that instead of your fucking vest.
Yeah, or maybe got stabbed in the leg, because he couldn't... He was
definitely in shock, and he's probably just like, oh man, you're just making my day worse by cutting my favorite vest.
Yeah, don't cut a man's vest. That's a rule.
Actually, you know what? I think we've just convinced ourselves, if we were in the same situation, we would react the same way. Don't cut our vest.
Yeah, don't cut my vest.
Yeah.
That
was brutal, though. How about that? They pull up to the curb, and then they're just walking out. You know something bad's happening because you've heard the scream on the radio.
Yeah.
Of the rookie.
That was so sad for her as well.
Yeah. Go up to David Harbour, and then bang, knife sticking out of his fucking head. It's just like, oh my God, this movie is not holding back. It's actually going there.
Yeah, no lead in, and then you just see...
And then her face is just like messed up.
They both quit on the spot there as well.
I mean, not going to lie, I probably would too if I was in either of their situation. Maybe less for her, if I was in her situation, maybe less of a chance of quitting. But they were saying, you know, that she wasn't cut out for it.
She was someone's daughter as well.
Yeah.
Was it the old mate who gave him the Medal of Honors? It wasn't Frank Grillo, which, shout out, Crossbones is in this, before joined S.H.I.E.L.D.
I've actually got all their names up here, so if we ever get stuck...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what's old mate, the police sheriff? Not the sheriff.
Captain... Oh, is it
Obvious?
Jamie Fitzsimmons?
Bloody hell, mate.
What's his name?
Old joke.
Captain
Obvious?
Something.
Old joke, mate. Come on.
You fucking idiot. I can't see it because half of his name's cut off.
Oh, Fitzsimmons.
Okay, Captain... Oh, it's probably...
Obvious.
Rodriguez.
Bloody three for three.
No, not Rodriguez. God damn it. Okay, who cares? But yeah, anyway, yeah, it was, super, super brutal. And yeah, I think for the whole movie, there was just spikes of brutality that came up.
Yeah.
You know, it had a nice energy of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you're walking into an old lady's house, she's in a plastic bag, and then there's cut up bodies everywhere, and there's like a pool of blood on the floor,
which was fucked. And
cartel stuff, man. That's whoa. It's another breed of violence. Insane.
I just want to see what happened there, because the grandma owned the house. Did the cartel come and you just take her house to murder people, or
no? Oh yeah, I mean maybe they had like snitches or prisoners with them,
or maybe she was someone's grandma who was getting killed as well.
Yeah,
and the person, you know, part of that.
It probably was like a cartel house, or there's people like attached to it. Because why else would they just target a random house?
Yeah,
yeah.
And this is what brings me to my first problem with the movie.
Yeah,
is I feel like this movie was great on showcasing, you know, the police life in LA.
Yes.
It really made you feel like, shit, this is what's going on. This is awesome. But it was, you know, the documentary style.
Yeah.
Awesome, amazing. It kind of felt at times, though, that there wasn't a proper story that was going ahead. It was just kind of moments.
That's exactly right. It was very character-driven, and I think that's what held most of the movie together, but it was very lackluster in the story department.
And yes. I feel like that really was noticeable in the first half. You know, when we get to the cartel shit and that, because it was like the first half they were setting up for a war between the Bloods and Latinas.
Yes.
Oh, cartel. Sorry.
I'd probably just say the Hispanic gang.
Hispanic gang.
Because they have links to the cartel, but they're not actually the cartel.
Yeah. Well, it looked like they were going to do like a thing there. Well, I guess, and then they dropped that.
I was just thinking about that. They basically are the cartel, actually.
They said the cartel.
Yeah, they said the cartel. Yeah. Sorry. Just, I needed to correct myself then.
We're all about corrections here and getting stuff right.
Corrections and erections.
Oh, shit.
Put that on a shirt.
Fuck, man. That's nice. Corrections and erections.
What can I say? I'm a bit of a freestyler.
Yeah, you're a bit of a freak. I just feel like, you know, whilst the fire scene was probably my favorite job that they went to because of the stakes that happened, and they got the Medal of Honor, and that was awesome.
There was a lot of stakes.
Sometimes there was times where they just went off and did something. It didn't feel like it.
It just felt like a piece. It felt like a piece of, like, you're watching Cops, an episode of Cops.
Yeah, a lot of the time it was just, oh, this is something that's happening, but it's not going to result to anything. And that was cool. I liked that. But there also was a lot of them.
Yeah.
It sometimes made me feel a bit like, oh, well, what's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah. No,
even the cartel stuff, that wasn't that deep into it. It was just somehow, oh, yeah, let's get these guys killed because they found two of our things. It's like,
yeah. No, but like that's also the thing too. That makes a lot of sense that they would have a hit on their head for finding two of their hideouts, sort of thing. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they, three strikes, you're out. That's the rule for most things.
But
I'm just generally
speaking. The footage
speaking.
Of the person saying that they got a hit on them was government DEA footage. Why didn't the DEA warn them?
Yeah, super, super weird.
So
yeah, why didn't they get a warning, and then they got a warning from a random street gang member?
Yeah,
telling them, oh, some of my boys have said that you guys have a hit on your head. It's like, oh, we're the police. Everyone's trying to hunt us.
Yeah, but if you saw, yeah, because it said it was the government footage.
That information should be straight through.
No, that's just a bit of a weird.
Or maybe it isn't like that. Maybe they don't reveal that information.
Well, if you got a hit on your head and the DEA knows.
I don't know.
They tell the LAPD officers, like, bro, just be careful.
Be careful, I guess. Or maybe they did. They just said, there's...
But they didn't.
Yeah. That is a logic problem. That's for sure. All right, we'll go into logic hour.
Logic hour. Oh, shit. Well, then I'm about to dump some shit on there. You go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, personally, I didn't really like the gang footage.
Yeah.
I didn't like any time in the movie where we saw footage of them filming, because realistically speaking, it doesn't make sense for them to film themselves.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
If they're going to film, they're going to just do like a, oh, look, he's getting drunk and fucking munted, bro. But they're not going to go, oh, let's film this hit on this gang.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have to be an idiot to do that. And honestly...
Or beforehand talking about, oh yeah, this cop left me off. And they're just filming a conversation that's just completely normal. It's like,
it doesn't make any sense for that part of the story. I mean, it makes sense for the cops to film because that's part of his like his course that he's doing in law, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to get some footage for that and build a movie. But for any other point in the movie, especially the Bloods gang, which was really weird that they were filming too, straight after seeing footage from the Hispanic gang.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? You guys are just filming conversations? And also, another logic problem is you got to stay consistent if you're going to stick to, like, the found footage thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about when Jake Gyllenhaal and Anna Kendrick are getting down and suddenly the camera is just, like, filming them?
Yeah, who's filming?
Who's filming?
Well, half the time it's like, who's filming? All right, you've really hit it now.
I get it. It's for the story. I understand it's for dramatic effect. No, you have to stick to a formula. You can creatively, whatever, you can break it however you want, but it doesn't feel good.
And this put me off so much throughout every single shot, because even the one of the shaving cream, right? And they smacked it. I swear to God, there was like a shot of the two of them there. Or when Michael Pena goes to the lady's house. I think it was the one where everyone was, or the human trafficking, which we'll get to. We'll talk to that about that properly. But when he's walking around the side by himself, someone's filming him.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's filming him?
It's
how does that work? So if you establish found footage, you have to keep it consistent.
It doesn't,
am I right? Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense at all, doesn't it?
No, yeah. Not at all. For every single scene, there was like points that were just didn't make sense at all.
I feel like the director, like directors of these movies have to be extremely careful if... Like what we're saying, yeah, you have to be extremely careful not to deviate from the path of the cameras that are set up. And it happens a lot. Like, I'm pretty sure Into the Storm, the same thing happens. You see some camera shots that are off.
Well, if you establish...
I don't know. Oh, I haven't watched that movie in a long time. But if you establish something like the footage style, just stick to it.
And... It was also like in the police station at the start for the briefing or whatever, where it was like, oh yeah, you guys are going to be in 13A instead
of 9A. Oh yeah, who's filming that? Yeah.
But then you saw a bit of like a side angle of just the chicks' heads, like the two police ladies' heads. It's like, who the fuck's filming that?
Super random. And then what about when Jake Gyllenhaal turns to the camera and winks and he's laughing?
Who's filming that?
Is there like a secret camera guy?
Yeah.
That's the law. There's just... The camera guy always survives.
There's a secret egg at Gyllenhaal. Wait, Eggenhaal.
He's got like a little mini-me Eggenhaal clone. And he just follows him everywhere, but no one can see him except for Gyllenhaal.
Or it's Michael's penis.
There's a tiny Michael penis and there's a little tiny Eggenhaal. And they're just like wandering around.
And they're the real bromies. They got a little police car. And they got little crimes to solve as well. Little cartels to fight. Oh, that's so adorable.
This cat stuck in a tree. Come on, Eggenhaal, let's go.
Wait, you said my name wrong. It's Mini Eggenhaal.
Oh,
and the mini boys go out and they save the mini cat and the mini tree.
What the fuck is happening?
Oh, I don't know, but it's kind of cool. It's nice.
Damn, that felt pretty wholesome, just like that wedding scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good dancing, eh?
Oh, yeah. I was just like, wow, this is something that I would do.
Yeah.
If I ever get married, I would be doing this. I'd be having like a freestyle breakout.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
I liked their little chemistry as well. They were good. I mean, they moved super quick to, it was like a month or what's the time difference between meeting her and baby time?
I'm not too sure, but yeah, they did meet very, like, yeah, that their whole interaction was very quick, but I feel like there was a big time jump. But obviously it's not stated, right? You'd probably have to look at the date of the camera when it's filmed and go back, and then you can like match the time.
Well, there's definitely got to be a date on that DEA.
Well, you can just like measure it off how pregnant Michael Pena's wife is. Like, you know, she was pregnant for a while. She's pretty pregnant.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go to the end of the movie now. I'm breaking my little promise, but... You see the baby now. Oh, no, but there's like she gives birth to the baby in the movie.
Mm.
So, yeah, they must have been together for not that long of a time.
No.
Yeah, you're probably right, like a month.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, well,
and they just got married and they had a baby after a month. Well, maybe not even. Like, I don't know how.
Who knows? I mean,
a week.
Come on, darling, let's go.
Yeah, that's kind of weird as well. Like, I like the dynamic, but it was just weird that. Oh fuck, we're having a baby. When'd you meet? Doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, wasn't it 2 days? Doesn't matter.
Love is love.
All right, we're bromies. All right, we're in the car. I still love you, bro. Let's go.
Yeah,
I thought that was a bit weird. I was just about to say something epic.
Damn, you're such a little slut.
Yeah, going back to the camera thing just one more time.
Yeah.
I also love the idea of just the gangsters being like, oh yeah, let's get a night vision camera for our vlog.
So weird. So strange.
Yeah.
I just don't get it at all.
I have one more bit of luck, but you hit me with a point, then I'll
No, you have another negative point, do you?
Well, it's just another logic thing.
Keep on this flow because I have a positive point.
My last camera logic is, so this is all Jake Gyllenhaal's movie.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, is throughout the whole movie.
It is his movie, yes.
How did he get the gangster footage? Now, you could say, well, the cartel, they killed him. They could have found the camera and then he could have just stole a bit. Okay, that's... weird, but sort of sort of plausible. I mean, he's going to strange lengths to get the story of how he's. I won't spoil the end, all right? Blah blah.
All the stuff happened. Yeah,
but how would he get the Bloods footage?
Super strange. It's just another thing that doesn't make any sense.
Or just the random skyline shot.
Yeah.
Which is just not even found footage at all.
Yeah.
Honestly, they should have just kept the scenes between...
Oh, that was like a helicopter shot when they were like filming down. I actually kind of like that.
That was a nice shot, yeah.
It looked pretty cool.
They should have just kept it as like a two and two and established that where there's some shots that are clearly found footage just between the boys and then other bits that aren't found footage.
Oh, then that would have been cool.
You would have got still that feeling of your...
You're with them, yeah, but then the other stuff is outside and maybe shoot that as like a normal movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you've just cracked the code. You should go to the directors and tell them to do a new one.
Yeah, David Ayer. Come on, bro.
Do a sequel.
That would have made it much better for me.
So David Ayer, so he is the director. You said he did Training Day. You told
me Suicide Squad, but you can't blame him for that. That's basically a studio movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Training Day is very cool, and that's also in a similar vein like to the cop sort of vibe. Bit more detective-ish, but he's definitely had experience in that department. If you're looking back on that, because that is a fucking banger of a movie. Denzel Washington in that too. It's like, whoa, yeah. Let's talk about some more camera shots as well on the car. I really liked that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, you had some of the stuff off the back and the side. It was, it was really nice and cinematic, but it felt like a again, going back to that point, felt like a cop show in a good way.
Yeah.
Like that's where it really works for the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very spicy. It looked cool. I liked their conversations in the car that they had, and it was just the camera on them in the car.
So that was so pure, wasn't it?
Having their little bants, you know, talking about how Michael Pena's underneath the bed, and that's also another ending thing. But underneath the bed and, you know, his girlfriend's, well, wife's parents are on top fucking and he's naked under the bed trying to get out of the house.
That made me so happy because I thought with the circumstances that happened at the end, we won't spoil it till you're happy to spoil it. All right. You've made that very clear.
Yeah.
But I thought that they were going to do like a wholesome ending where it's like, oh, this is like a life lesson.
Yeah.
But instead, they just did a wholesome ending where it's like, oh, man, that's just fucking funny. They just, instead of showing some cheesy thing, they just showed the boys.
The boys, you
know. Guys being dudes with guns.
That should be the alternative title. And then we get the director's cut of this. Guys being dudes with guns.
What did you say about the erection part before as well?
Oh,
corrections give me erections. That's like the little sub. Title.
I think it was something else.
Corrections give me erections.
Well, I'll go back and find it. I'll give it a little snip, eh?
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, you want to get into the human trafficking scene? Because, you know, human trafficking, crazy.
Well, they said as well, I've got a question for you. They said that the guy was a runner for the cartel.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, drug runner. And then we saw the people. Is he also a people runner, a drug runner, or a bit of both?
Oh, can he run people? He wasn't a drug... Wait, was he a drug runner or a gun runner? Probably drugs.
Can you run a person?
You can. Yeah, that's it's just shipment of like people as cargo.
Yeah.
You can. And it probably was. I'm just piecing a few things together here. So, you know those bodies and stuff that were like cut up?
Mm.
Do you reckon they're people that have come over into the States? And I don't know, maybe they did something wrong, maybe they're used as human labor to like manufacture or distribute the drugs here or something. I don't know. I'm just putting little pieces together.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like, why are they there? Because they're obviously imprisoned, so they're being used for something. Maybe they're just getting sold off or something. Yeah, they probably get sold off to gangs as, you know, human resources.
They're getting run.
Getting run, yeah.
These people, they're getting run.
It's a really interesting and very sad topic to talk about. Because that sort of stuff still happens in the world.
Yeah.
Like, people are being sold off as slaves. It's disgusting.
Apparently, don't quote me on this, but apparently, like, slavery is still at, like, an all-time high.
Really?
But I don't know how true that is, and I just heard someone say it one time.
Yeah,
but it's definitely still very prevalent in today's society.
It would be, yeah, because there's still like a lot of horrible things that go around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a bit of a window into reality of like what's still out there. And that's what I also like about this movie. It just, the parts that show you the dramatic craziness, they don't hold back.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. That's what you need to like bring you back into the cop vibe.
Yeah, exactly. It just really shows when we're not holding back. We're going to show you fucking everything.
Yeah.
Well, do you have one last thing or?
Old lady's house.
LA would fuck your ass.
Yeah, they would fuck my ass.
I love that scene where David Harbour was going in depth about that. About the anal sex with the LAPD.
That was cool. What about when they came across the human trafficking stuff, and then the other boys in blue? What is it? What are they? There's some term.
They had ice on them, but I don't know what ice stands for. What you mean, the green dudes?
Yeah, yeah. They just come out of nowhere in the cars, and it's like, yeah, oh man, this has been on an investigation. Yeah.
They had ice on them, but I can't remember what that means.
It was just like a special forces sort of thing.
It wasn't DEA.
No, what wasn't DEA? It was something like way more intense.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, but that was cool. I feel like, yeah, that would actually happen. Just like cars coming out of nowhere, and it's like, oh my god, yeah. I like that little exchange. He was saying, you know, I'm throwing you a bone. Don't keep digging.
Yeah,
it was a warning and a nice bit of prediction for the end of the movie.
A foreshadowing, yeah.
No, word I was bloody looking for a bit of an English word. All right,
let's
there.
Talk about the end, and then we let's get into trivia, because I've got to go to work soon.
No, mate, all right. Yep. All right, it's time for the ending. Dude, so suspenseful and crazy, so heartbreaking.
Awesome shootout.
Yeah.
Awesome shootout.
Really cool.
I just wish, and this is me being, like, I thought, oh, fuck. Both of them died. This movie did not just do that. That's the most ballsiest move.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, Jake's there. I was like, oh. All right.
I understand that. But I kind of have to disagree with you in actually liking that decision.
Mm-hmm.
I like it because now he is going to be taking care of Michael Pena's kids. Exactly the opposite to what Michael said at his wedding when he said, if you die in combat... Not combat, but on the job, I will take care of your family. And if you have kids, I will take care of your kids. It's the opposite. It's like the movie shifting it around, and now he will do the same.
Yeah, and I like that.
That's wholesome. But I understand where you're coming from. It would be so insane to do that.
Because I was like, this is fucking ballsy, man.
Yeah, yeah.
This is nuts. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't hate it. Didn't like love it. I was just like, wow.
You're expecting it to just keep building on that event sort of thing.
Well, I didn't expect...
Oh, excuse me.
I didn't expect Jake to get shot. I was expecting someone to die.
Yeah.
I was like, one of these two guys are going to die. From the start, I was like, I can tell how this movie's going. So then to show them both dying, and I was like, what? And then I saw the lady grab Jake's, like, chest or something and check for his pulse or Yeah, because you check it on the chest.
Yeah, you check it on the chest.
Whatever, she checked for his pulse, and I was like, oh, fuck, he's not alive, because she let go straight away, basically.
Yeah.
But obviously he was still alive.
Oh, man. But seriously, though, when Michael Pena is holding Jake in that alleyway, and he's, like, crying and stuff, and he's like, where the fuck are you guys? Like, where was the backup that was so slow?
Yeah.
And he's just, like, in absolute tears. That is just horrible. Then the gang coming up behind him and just, like, full-on, actual point-blank shooting him in the back.
Yeah.
Just blasting
dog
him.
Act.
So, oh, man, that was brutal. Yeah, and I just... I know vengeance sometimes... Vengeance and justice are different, but they also feed into the same idea, and this is where it was just. Like, them getting shot down right there, that they completely deserve that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But, yeah, it's just like, man, you felt like even though the cops got justice, there was still like, well, you know, we lost people.
Yeah, we lost a good dude here.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be two dudes, but...
Thought it was going to be two dudes. But yes, man, how about them just running into that apartment as well? And then the crying mother's there, and it's just like, there's no signal on their radios, and they have to use the phone.
Yeah, it was tense. It was tense.
Yeah.
Lots of spraying. I don't get how they didn't get...
shot when they were running past. Yeah. Yeah, at least they hit Jake Gyllenhaal's hand.
Yeah.
But you would feel like you're a big sponge. You're a body of mass here. At least one bullet out of four or five guns is going to hit you if you're all like...
They're like submachine guns. Like, surely one of those could just, like, hit someone.
At least, like, a leg or something?
Yeah.
They hit the hand, but that, out of all places, it's like the hand.
That's like the hardest spot to hit.
Yeah.
A moving hand. It's
and
easy
not even
to hit the hand.
It was like the radio, hit the radio, yeah. And then, like, kind of scrape the hand.
It's easier to hit the head than the hand.
Strange. But, you know, that's... It worked for the end of the movie.
The hardest spot, though, to hit would be the gooch.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there.
How
unless
do you hit
you
the gooch
like
when
a,
someone's running? You can't.
I mean, it's pretty easy to get, like, a nice angle on a sniper rifle, I reckon, and you could, like, shoot through the back of the gooch, but actually hitting the gooch...
Yeah, straight-up gooch. You have to ricochet off a wall into the gooch, I reckon.
Or you could, like, when someone's running and you're hiding underneath a
no, no, from
manhole.
Their position, though.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't hit the gooch.
They couldn't hit the gooch.
Safe gooch.
Gooches are safe.
Do you want me to get into trivia?
Yeah, I think it's about time. We've covered a lot of cool things here.
As part of their training, Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Pena spent 5 months doing 12-hour ride-alongs on duty with LAPD officers.
That's pretty cool.
During Gyllenhaal's first ride-along, he witnessed a murder.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they really do play the part. They feel like authentic cops in this movie.
If anyone could handle a murder out of actors, I reckon.
It's got to be Gyllenhaal.
He just seems real. He seems grounded.
And he's got those eyes, like, he's like, you can just tell that he's seen things.
If it was Tom Cruise, I feel like Tom Cruise would see the murder and go, booyah! What's next, guys?
Hey, that was so exhilarating.
The cops just put their hand on his shoulder. Tom, he's dead.
Oh, let's go to Scientology.
Booyah, Xenu. Most of the crude banter between Gyllenhaal and Pena was improvised.
Of course it was, yeah. So that just reinforces my point of them being bromies off camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the law enforcement term end of watch means the end of someone's shift.
Yeah.
Or, this is foreshadowing to the end of the film, refers to an officer's death if he's killed in the line of duty. So the title was a spoiler all along.
Oh my god, so only cops would know.
Cops would get to and be like, end of watch.
They're gonna die. They're gonna die straight up.
Nah.
They're gonna die.
No one would know. Not even cops.
Damn.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool, eh?
I really like that's a nice little collection of trivia you've got there. I'm proud of you, Ben.
Thanks, man. It was another point, but it's so long and it wasn't that good. So I told you that one off air.
Yeah, that was cool, but not as good as those three.
Diamond Bolt. No, this is Letterboxd reviews.
Letterboxd time.
Diamond Bolt. I watch his YouTube as well. He's good. This is actually someone who I like.
Sick.
Gave it 4 stars and he said, the word fuck has no meaning anymore.
It doesn't. Oh my god, yeah. Actually, I lost track of how many times it came up.
Were you counting?
No, but I was like, obviously we were hearing it a lot.
Oh, you said you lost track. It means you were tracking a point and then you lost it.
Okay, maybe my...
You've lost the track.
my grammatical skills have kind of fallen through the earth.
Your wording. Yes. Den of Geek says, bro, dude, bro, dude, bro, dude, bro, dude, bro, 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 dude, bro, frick. 3.5 stars.
Hey, that is some poetry.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what he's trying to get there. There was a bit of broing, but I didn't feel like there was that much broing and duding.
That's more of a dude, where's my car sort of review.
Yeah.
Nah, but you know what? Respect. Putting yourself out there.
My favorite review. This is quite literally GTA from the other perspective, and it's really good. Love the way it's shot and edited, and Pina and Gyllenhaal are great. Ryan Daniel, 4 stars. It is kind of GTA.
I can't completely agree, actually. Yeah. It's especially like going through the alleyways and the cars and stuff like that. Oh, there was a point, the car chase at the start, I think, when they're going through the back streets of LA and there's rails on the side where the tram comes along or the train.
Yeah.
Like that's a part of LA that GTA 5 put in the game as its map.
For real.
Yeah, just there was certain streets and areas I was like, oh man, I've driven down there before. You know, I've blown someone up down there before.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, weird. It's weird that LA just kind of is portrayed as a stinky place. It looks like a scary place.
It does look a little bit stinky, you know. Anyone living in LA, I'm sorry, but it looks
stinky. Let us know.
Let us know. Is it actually stinky or, you know?
If it's stinky, give us 5 stars. If it's not stinky, give us 5 stars.
You know, it's an easy thing to do.
Who's scoring first?
Yeah, I'll bloody score first, mate.
Yep, go.
7 out of 10, I reckon.
Yeah, for me, 6.5.
Hey, respectable. Catch you next time for Toy Story 4.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these 3 things.
Number one.
Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number two.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number three.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.